Hey, it's Ron Jacobs for Endpoint TV. Today, once again, we're going to look at the state machine. Only this time, I want to get kind of behind the scenes as we look at how does this thing really work. So what I've done here is I have a state machine, and you can see that it starts by going to state 1, and then we can go from state 1 to state 2 or state 3, or we can skip right on through this countdown transition here to the final state. And if we go to state 2 or state 3, they have null transitions, so they're just going to flow right into the final state. Now, what I'm after with this example is I want to see what you can do with triggers and transitions and how they work and what happens to them. All right, so let's look at, first of all, when you enter a state, what happens when we run the state machine? Well, this start thing, that's just a visual artifact. There's really nothing you can do there, and you can't do anything with this arrow. That just is, tells you which state is the first state, okay? And there can only be one state that's the first one, so you can't draw another arrow from start to one of these others. You just can't do it. Now, the first thing that's going to happen is the state machine activity, this big one out here, will schedule the first state. And then when that executes, it will schedule its entry actions. So here I've got some entry actions. We're going to show that we're entering, and then I'll just say if there's this countdown thing is enabled. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. So that's the first thing that happens. Now, after the entry actions are done, then what happens is there are three transitions here, 1, 2, 3, right? So all three of those transitions are going to get scheduled. And what gets scheduled on the transition is actually the trigger actions. So whatever is in the trigger action, that gets scheduled. And what happens is they get scheduled in a certain order. And the order is not apparent on the diagram, but if you look at the XAML, you can see it. So if I hit F7 here and we look in the XAML, if I look down here, right here we see state.transitions. All right? That tells me there's a collection of transitions. And the first one that we see here is to state 2. So that will be the first one that gets scheduled. So this is the way the state machine thinks about its collection of activities. All right? So let's go back to the design view. And so what's going to happen is now these are exclusive ORs. Okay? So we're either going to go to state 2, to state 3, or to countdown. And so what happens is the state gives all three of these a chance to schedule some activities that will execute. Now, normally the assumption is that these activities are going to wait for something, right? So if I go look in here into the to state 2, I am going to write some text. So you can actually invoke whatever activities you want in here. Now in WF3, there was a requirement that whatever activity was the trigger, it had to implement this certain interface and stuff. In WF4, we don't do any of that. There's no requirement. You can put any activity you want here, which is cool, but it also has some things. It means you have to watch out for some stuff. So I'm going to explain that. So what I'm going to do here is write that we're setting up our trigger, and then I have a bookmark activity. This is test bookmark. It's from the unit testing framework. So this is just going to wait for a bookmark and resume it with a value of int32. And if we look at the properties here, it's just going to wait for a bookmark named state 2. Now, I put all of this inside of a cancellation scope so I can see when this gets canceled. And when it does, I'll write to state 2 canceled. All right, so now what we've done is we scheduled trigger, 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 right? And all the trigger activities, they get fired and they will execute until they go idle or they complete. Now, which trigger gets selected? This is the interesting thing. The rule is the first trigger that completes and passes the condition, that one wins. All right, so here I have a condition that value equals 0. So that condition, this value variable gets set by the bookmark. So when we resume the bookmark, if we resume it with 0, this condition will pass. Okay, and when it passes, as soon as we evaluate the condition, we see, aha, I have a transition that won. The other transitions will get canceled. Okay, and then we'll execute the action here. Oh, but wait, before we execute the action, we'll actually exit the first state. So what you'll see is we evaluate the condition, exit state one, but before we enter state two, this action will happen. So it's kind of interesting that this action happens when the state machine is not really in a state, it's sort of between states, this action takes place. Okay, and then our destinations, we go to state two, and we start the whole process over again. Entry actions, transitions, and so forth. Now, there's one other kind of interesting transition here, and that's this one, this countdown transition. So, what I did here is I pass in an argument to the workflow to say if we want to enable a countdown or not. All right, so because I want to do some action conditionally in the transition, I have to have this if here. All right, so what I want to do is say, all right, we're going to enter a sequence. We'll count down this message like workflow will complete in n number of seconds, right? So then we'll put out that message, we'll decrement our counter, and we'll delay for 1 second. Now, what's going to happen here is very interesting because the trigger will get scheduled, this will all fire and delay for 1 second. When the delay is done, it will resume and then it will evaluate the condition. So it will say, well, countdown's enabled, and if the number's not zero, so we haven't counted down yet, then what happens? If a transition trigger, if the transition does not pass the condition, what happens is the trigger gets rescheduled and it just starts over again. Okay, so it'll go run it, wait for a second, not pass, run it, wait for a second, not pass, and so forth. Now, this is very enlightening because you might say, Ron, why did you have to put if here enable countdown? Why'd you have to do that? Why didn't you just have, enable countdown is here, so this transition's never going to pass? I'll tell you why. Because it will always schedule the trigger. And if I don't want to do some work that the trigger is doing, I have to do it this way. So the trigger is always evaluated before the condition. So how do I deal with the case where I don't want to have a countdown? Really, if you thought about it, I mean, look at this. If I said, well, here's a transition, and sometimes I want this transition and sometimes I don't. It just depends on an argument that gets passed to the workflow. You might think, oh, I could just put that in the condition only. Yeah, you might think that, but you would be wrong because whatever's in the trigger always gets scheduled. So if you do have a case where you don't want something to happen in the trigger, you have to put an if. And then, well, why don't you say, okay, what if I just set else to nothing? Just nothing in the else, what would happen? Then you get this very tight loop of if, condition, if, condition, and it just goes, and your state machine will never go anywhere. So the net result of this is that every trigger needs to cause the workflow to go idle in some way, even if it's in a way that we think we'll never want to use. So here's what I did is I used the bookmark activity, the test bookmark activity, and I just created a bookmark that waits for a bookmark named never. So never resume this bookmark, okay? Now somebody could, okay, if they did, and enable countdown would still be false, so the condition would fail. And I just don't know any other way to really make this work. If I have a condition, a trigger that I want to enable sometimes or not, this would be the way to do it. Okay, so now let's run this. Let's run this and take a look at what happens because there's some kind of cool stuff that's happening here, and I want to show it to you. First of all, you'll notice that I am taking advantage of the activity tracking extensions in the unit test framework. And in fact, I like these so much, I'm going to move them into the Microsoft Activities Library, and that will be in the next release. It might be done by the time you see this. But you see how I get these nice, well-formatted records here? Like here's a state machine state record. It tells me that the workflow is in state one. And you're asking, Ron, how did you know all this stuff about what happens, what gets triggered, what gets scheduled? This is how I know, because I get all this nice tracking information right here in the debug window. Now, if you're asking yourself, you say, When I run my code, I don't see that. You probably don't, and I'm going to show you what I did to make that work. Okay, so let's look here at Solution Explorer. I made a simple class. Well, first of all, I added a reference to Microsoft Activities and Microsoft Activities unit testing. Okay, then I create this simple class here that's called Tracker. It has a tracking participant. And whenever I get called track, I just say record.trace. Okay, that's it, record.trace. And this will output that nice formatted trace right here. Now, how did I get that hooked up to my workflow application? I will show you. So here in my workflow application, you can see that I create my workflow host, I set up the completed event, and then right here, I just add a tracker to the extensions collection. And now I get this nice little flow right here that tells me exactly what's going on. And I've also added a workflow service behavior that allows you to do this with workflow services as well, because I know how difficult it can be to tell what's going on when things are going wrong. Okay, so now when I run this, let's go to state 3 and we'll see what happens. Now, first of all, where is our workflow right now? It's in state 1 and it's waiting for the various transitions. State 2 trigger is waiting, state 3 trigger is waiting, the countdown one is not waiting, or it, technically it is, but it's waiting for that never bookmark, and so I'm not even showing that in the UI. All right, so let's go to state 3. So we can see what happened when we went to state 3, that state the transition to state 2 was canceled. The other transition, the countdown one, was also canceled, but it's not showing us any text, and we can see it in here. If we look hard enough, you can find it. I'm not going to look. Let's just keep going. All right. Then we exit state 1. So first we cancel the other transitions. We exit the state we're leaving. Then we run the trigger actions of the state of the transition, right? So here's the action for the to state 3 transition. Then we enter state 3. Now in this case, state 3 just had a null transition to final, so we exit it immediately. Then we go out of that null transition and we enter the final state, and then our workflow is done. So there you see how it works. Now there's some other interesting things you can do with this if you want to see the countdown. Let's enable the countdown. So if you just change this enable countdown to true, all right, let's see what happens now. Okay, so now we see that we have this trigger that keeps waking up. It wakes up, writes a message, delays, and if I do a transition here, I got it just in time. So we resumed the bookmark to state 2, and you see, even after we resumed, our little countdown fired. It was in the middle of firing when it got canceled with 0 seconds remaining, so it was just about to win. So it got canceled, state 3 got canceled, and so forth. Now, I have found that if the timing is just right, you can actually resume a bookmark, and before it can cancel the other triggers, then the one that's resuming and waking up periodically, the countdown one, can actually cause the other transition to get canceled. It's just a weird timing thing, so it can happen. You have to be careful about that. But so I don't know if I would recommend a transition that woke up and did this kind of thing. I just wanted to experiment with it so you can see how that works. And then there's one final thing. Like, let's see what happens if we set bookmark value to 1. So that means our transitions to state 2 and 3, they won't work because that condition says the value has to be 0. So let's run that, and we'll see if we try to go to 2. It just said, no, we're not going to do that. So it keeps going back and asking me which state I want to go to, right? So finally, that we got to the end of the countdown and we canceled the other transitions, and that's over. So that's a little bit of insight into how State Machine works and some of the internals of it, some things to watch out for. Hope you enjoyed that. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Brian.